Set a fire down in my soul. Want more of you, God. John chapter 10. Open your Bibles with me. And again, I'm going to have the kids from time to time help me out here in preaching, teaching. You didn't know I was going to say that, did you? Today. No. In John chapter 10, in the 10th verse. And do we still have the Bible up on the screen today? Is that a yes or... No, not yet. Okay. Well, then open your Bibles, please. You know, you can't always rely on your electronic thing either, because if the service goes down or whatever, keep a hard copy. John chapter 10, verse 10, the thief does not come. Kids, listen up, because I might quiz you here. Except to steal and to kill and destroy. But Jesus says, I've come that you might have abundant life. Or he says in the Amplified, that you might have an enjoy life. Say enjoy life. In abundance. To the full. Until it overflows. Say that's a picture of my life. As a spirit-filled believer. Okay. In Deuteronomy. That's way back in the Old Testament. I'll tell you what page in a minute. 350 in my Bible, but Deuteronomy chapter 30, I still hear pages. The index is on page 4, if you can't find Deuteronomy. Just ask somebody next to you. There's no judgment here. If you can't find it, that's all right. Somebody will help you. Then you'll know where it is next time, amen? Deuteronomy 19, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. Therefore, choose what? Choose life, that you and your descendants may live. That you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice. That's important, obedience. And that you may cling to him. You see, when you have problems in your life, you want to cling to the one that's got the answers, right? Go to the one that's got the answers. When you find yourself caught in maybe a transgression, that's sin, where you've missed it, don't run away from God. Run to God, because he wants to help you. He's on your side. The devil's trying to get you to run away, okay? But anyway, you have to choose life. Now, how many people here have made Jesus the Lord of their life? You've gotten born again. You've gotten saved, okay? You had to choose that. Nobody can force you to get born again or to come into God's family. You have to say, I believe you, and I thank you, Father, for sending Jesus to die for me. And then you had to speak and cause that transformation or your life to be born over again, your spirit man. Because we are a spirit, and we have a soul. That's our mind and our will and our emotions, and we live in a body. Right? Say body. Okay, we just live in our body here temporarily. But our spirit man is the real you. Looks just like you. But your spirit man is the one that gets reborn, and now you have life. But how did that happen? Well, go over to Romans chapter 10 with me. Romans, the 10th chapter. We're going to start in verse 8. But what does it say? The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Verse 9. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness. Now don't get hung up on that word. We're going to talk about it in a minute. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Notice that you have to confess or say something with your mouth. And so I want to talk to you today about the power of your words. It's the power of your words that got you into God's family. And it's the power of your words that's going to direct your life. How many have ever seen ridden in a boat, and I don't know if you're aware, but underneath there's a propeller, but there's also a rudder. So when you steer the wheel, it turns the boat one way, and then it turns the boat another way. Well, James talks about that rudder being your tongue. He says that rudder is your tongue, and that's what guides your life. That's what directs your life. So that tells me that God's not just doing everything for me without my participation. Without me knowing, without me participating, without me acting and receiving, and I have a part to play. I have to choose life. I have to choose life. You have to choose life. And you have to choose life. And we all have to choose life. Now, how do we do that? We do that with our words. We do that with our words. So turn with me over to Proverbs chapter 18. I want you to see what God records here for us to learn. A lot of you have this verse memorized, but you need to understand that it is powerful. This is what shows us what controls our life. It says in verse 21, death and life. Say death and life. So we've got the bad and we got the good. Death, bad. Life, good. What did Deuteronomy chapter 30 tell us to choose? You can yell it right out. It's okay. Choose life. So here he says death and life are in the power or the control of your tongue. You are where you are today predominantly because of the things that you have said. Jesus said over in Matthew that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Let's just go look at that scripture in chapter 12. Very, very important. Matthew 12. Jesus is talking here. And he's talking to the Pharisees, and the Pharisees were religious people, but they weren't godly people. And Jesus cut right to the chase when he dealt with them. He said, in the outward appearance, you go to church, you look really good, you dress right, you talk right in front of people, but he goes on to tell them, you're of your father the devil. So he cut right to the chase. And so here we see in verse 33, Jesus says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. Now, how many of you went apple picking this fall? Okay. And so when Cheyenne, since you went apple picking, I'm going to pick on you. When you went apple picking, did you look for the apples that were little and green and had worms coming out of them? You didn't fill your basket up with those? No? What did you look for? Apples, like the red, delicious. What's your favorite apple? Is it Granny Smith? That's the green one. You like those? Or Macintosh? But you chose, when you went and picked apples, did you look at each one? You didn't blindfold yourself and then just pick them off the tree. You looked at them, this one looks really good, and you put it in the basket, right? And so we need to choose. We need to choose the words we speak that would be good words. Aha, we're going somewhere here. So he says, you're either going to make the tree good and its fruit good, or the tree bad and the fruit is going to be bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. Now, I've seen trees that they're like crabapple trees, and those aren't good for eating. And so you take them and you might throw them at each other and stuff like that, but you don't eat the things. Because they're bad fruit. They're not good fruit. And so here Jesus is trying to compare. He's showing us something in the natural, but he's really teaching us something spiritual here that's going to govern your life. That's going to help you govern your life or direct your life. Okay? So he goes on to say, and he calls them snakes. He says, you brood of vipers. He's talking to the ones that think they know everything, but they don't. He says, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart, your mouth speaks. So that tells me that what's inside your heart is going to come out your mouth. So earlier I said where you are in life is predominantly by what you've been saying, okay? And a lot of it for you kids, it's what you've been trained at home by mom and dad and by the schools and everything, and you say things a certain way. But when we come into God's family, he wants us to look at his word, and he wants us to agree with his word and speak his word. And that's how you choose life. God is always about choosing life. And so he's always choosing. Now, remember back, way back in Genesis, we're not going to turn there, but he said, let there be light, and there was light. See, God works this way. He speaks, and then things happen. Well, I have some seeds here, and I've been carrying these around for probably about 4 years. I don't know if the date's on here. Sell by 11/11, so longer than that. And I'm waiting for a bouquet of flowers every day, but they don't show up. I open my Bible where I keep them or my bag, but the flowers aren't there. How come the flowers aren't in a nice bouquet for me? I haven't planted them yet. So Jesus, and we're going to look at a scripture in a minute, he's going to talk about seeds, and he's going to relate them to your words. Okay? But let's just finish up here. Verse 35. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. A good man out of the good treasure. So how does he have good treasure in his heart? How does it get there? Do you go to Walmart and say, I'd like some good treasure to put in my heart and fill it up in a bag? How do you get the good treasure in there? It's the word of God. It's God's word that gets into your heart. And when you have good treasure, what does it say that happens? It says it brings forth good things. So kids and adults, big kids, if you want good things in your life, you've got to speak right. You've got to bring forth the good things in your life by speaking right. Now, just give you an example. If you're believing God for a job, but you go around saying, well, I'm just stupid and I'm just never going to get that job. I know that I can't beat out the other people in contention. Your words are not lining up with God because he says he leads you into victory. He says that the good out of the good treasure is going to bring forth good things, but you're speaking doubt and unbelief. And those are evil things to God. And they will produce, but they won't produce good things. They'll produce, bad words will produce those crabapple trees. And so our words, whatever we're speaking, they will grow up. They will grow up, good or bad. And we'll see the fruit of that tree in our life at some point. There's a season where those words will grow up. Sometimes it's quick, sometimes it takes longer. You speak hurtful words over somebody, that can affect their life, but it's also going to affect your life. And sometimes it takes time for it to grow up, but it will grow up. It'll grow up into that crabapple tree that you don't want. But if you speak good words, you see, the Bible tells us that prophecy, and everybody that's born again can prophesy. Prophecy is edification, exhortation, and comfort. So that's speaking good words over somebody. That's building them up. Matt, you're doing a great job at work. You know, you're really doing a great job. And you know, we're thankful that you're here. And you know, keep at it. Keep into the word. And God's going to do great things. But somebody could come along and say, you're just no good. You know, I heard about you. I heard about you when you were in high school. You just did all those stupid things. How many have ever done stupid things before? We all have. But those things are behind us. We shouldn't still be doing the stupid things as we've been a born-again Christian for 10 years, 15 years. We should be growing. We we should be learning how to control our rudder. What's the rudder? Our tongue. Remember that, kids? What you say is important. And what you say is important to your life. More important than anybody else's life. Now, we see here that the good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. So if you get good treasure in your heart by putting God's word, good things in there, how do you suppose you get evil treasure in there? Things that would be contrary to God's word. Now, they don't have to be, I'll tell you what they are. They could be doubt and unbelief. They could be curse words and words that are hurtful to somebody. Anything that would be opposite of what God says is going to be, and he goes on to say, Jesus says here, he called it an idle word in verse 36. But I tell you, on the day of judgment, men will have to give an account for every idle, inoperative, non-working word that they speak. That's still in the future. We're all going to go to heaven. And when we get to heaven, we're going to have a party. We're going to have a nice dinner. But there's a day where we'll have before Jesus will come, and it's called the judgment seat of Christ. And he's not judging us for our sin. That's been paid for, dealt with, not even going to be brought up. He doesn't even remember it. Isn't that cool? But he will bring up the idle words, the words you spoke all your life that didn't amount to anything, the words that were full of doubt and unbelief. And the Bible says that crowns will be given, rewards will be given, and rewards will be taken away. So there's still an accountability. You know what that means? That means that for your actions, there's consequences. You know, you do something wrong, and mom and dad's going to correct you over it, right? So we'll be corrected in the sense that we'll either be given rewards or they'll be taken away from us. Has nothing to do with losing your salvation. Don't be afraid that if you miss it today, that that's going to cause you to not be saved. That can't happen. You can't do anything bad enough that would cause God to kick you out. You didn't do anything good enough to get you in. It's all about him. It's all about his goodness. That's what his grace is. His mercy is that we didn't deserve it. We didn't deserve to get the punishment. Jesus took the punishment. Isn't that good news? That's why this time at Christmas time, there's so much more to the Christmas story gives you an inroad into somebody's life that doesn't know anything about God. They don't know. By large, the world doesn't know God's a good God. They think he's full of, you know, hardness and he's a hard taskmaster, but that's not the case. But anyway, back to our words. Verse 37, he says, "For by your words you'll be justified, and by your words you'll be condemned." So our words in God's eyes are very, very important. So we want to learn to speak the right words. Amen? Okay. Remember this. Your words direct your life either good or bad. Your words, if you're taking notes, write this down. Your words are what's going to direct your life. You see, I grew up believing that God was just doing everything. He was in control of my life, and I had no say over it. But that's not true. He gave Adam dominion on this planet. He didn't reserve. God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit did not reserve themselves any sovereign authority on this planet. The way God operates in this planet today is through you and through me, through the power and the authority he's given us. Now, how many have been in the discipleship class here for the last 6 months? They've been teaching on the authority of the believer. It's taken 6 months, and you still don't know it all. You've just touched the surface of what God has empowered you with and the authority he's given you. And that authority is to direct your life, but it's also to help bring about the purpose and the will and the plans that he has on this planet. There are people that you, Haley, and you, Jerrica, and you, Cheyenne, you, Jaden, there are people that you're going to reach for Jesus. Some God's got plans. He's already been thinking about you. He likes you, by the way. Did you know that? He thinks you're pretty special. You're like number one in God's book. You're number one too. Yeah, we all are. We all are. Number one, numero uno. But God, he desires a good life for you. And way back in that Old Testament of Deuteronomy, he said, I've set before you life and death. I've given you the blessing or the curse, but you get to choose it. Nobody in their right mind wants to choose the curse. Is there anybody here that, correct me if I'm wrong, is there anybody here that would choose the curse over your life? Nobody wants to. Even those that don't even know God, if you ask them, would you choose the curse over your life? They'd say, no, I don't want the curse. I want the good stuff. But God says you have to choose it. He doesn't just force it down your throat. Isn't that interesting that you have a big part to play? You have the major part. God's already done his part. Now it's up to you how your life gets governed. It needs to be governed by the word of God. So getting that good treasure of God's word in your heart, now when you begin to speak it, let me give you an illustration. Next Sunday, we're going to have a healing and a miracle service here. I might just have some of you kids help me. But God has already paid the price through Jesus. When he went to that whipping post, he was beat, he was whipped, he was tore apart for our behalf. And so he says that by those stripes that he bore, I'm healed. And so I have to, if I want healing in my body, I need to agree with that. I need to agree with that. I have had people come to the healing. I can think of one anyway, where they did not want to agree. They wanted to prove it wrong. And they left just as sick and crippled as they came in, because they refused to accept and believe the word of God. When a lot of other people went home praising God because they got healed. You get to choose. It's God the Father's heart, Cheyenne, that every single person on this planet that ever lived comes to know him and comes into his family. He started the family. And it's his will. It's his desire. Father God wants everybody to come in, but not everybody's going into his family because they didn't choose to. You have to choose to. Everybody understand that? It's very simple, but it's very powerful in that you have the decision over your own life. Your parents can't make you come into God's kingdom. God himself can't, because he set it up that way. And so it's our choice. And we saw at the very beginning in Romans 10, 9 and 10, if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart, so you have to be a believer, but then you got to say something. Same thing about the good treasure of God's word in your heart. You have to believe it. It's not enough to just memorize scripture. You have to believe that word. You have to believe that by Jesus' stripes you're healed. And then it activates that word, this power in that word. Remember over in Acts, I think it's chapter 3 or 4 along there, when Peter and John were going up to the temple and there was a man that was crippled and he got healed. And then later on, the authorities brought them into court and they said, what's going on? And they were coming against Peter and John and they told them, do not preach in this name anymore. See, that name's got power. We sang about that this morning. Why would they say, don't preach in this name? Because the devil knows that there's power in the name. And the devil was the one influencing those people in that court and saying, it's the name. Don't let them preach in the name. When you believe in the name, and that's what Peter went on to say, it's the name and faith in the name. You have to believe the name. You can't just say, Jesus, 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 and think anything. You have to believe that the power of Jesus. My wife, just the other day when we had some snow on the mountain, she's coming down and she found herself going sideways. And she just cried out, Jesus. And she said instantly the car just straightened right out and she missed the trees and the bridge and the whole thing. Well, I mean, she didn't miss the bridge, but she missed crashing into the side of the bridge. There's power in that name when you believe it. But you have to believe it. How is a good way to believe God's word? Keep getting it into your heart. So get into the word, and just reading it once probably isn't going to do it. You read it, and you read it, and you read it until it goes off like dynamite. Now, Mike's not here today, but dynamite's pretty powerful, isn't it? Yeah, I'm sure you just love him in that business. But you know what? You trust God. You trust God. Yeah, she's just shaking her head. Oh, dear Lord. He plays with dynamite. I mean, he works with dynamite. I know a little bit about that. I had a well that was not giving me any water, and somebody says, well, I can come up and dynamite it for you. And I knew that something was wrong as soon as he got out of his truck. He was in camo gear, head to toe, and he was a munitions guy in the service. He came with three crates of 16 or 18-inch dynamite, three crates of it. And I helped him tape those sticks of dynamite to 600 feet of line. And it took quite a while. And then we dropped him down into the well. And then he had me push the plunger. And, of course, don't you know, all the kids in the neighborhood come over. And here, I didn't think of the danger of it. I said, you kids, back up a little, a little. I thought my house was going to come off the foundation. It sent water up higher than my house. I have a two-story house plus an attic. For about a period of a minute or more, because of the water, it just kept coming up. That's how the explosion just pushed everything out of that well. And it also pushed all the rocks in, and it caved the thing in. So that's my dealing with dynamite. But do you know this? Listen, kids, to this. That the word of God is just like dynamite. It's powerful. Turn with me over to Hebrews 4. We'll show you how powerful. Now, it's powerful enough to see that lame man, he was crippled from birth, never walked, instantly gets up. That's the power in the name. Hebrews 4:12. I'm going to read it out of the Amplified. For the word that God speaks... Remember God spoke in Genesis? The word that God speaks. Get this. This is worth coming today. The word that God speaks, if you speak the word God speaks, you get the same results. The power is in the word of God and believing it. So he says here, the word of God, it's alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing. Picture that Energizer Bunny. Just doesn't stop. The word of God just keeps going and going and going and going. And effective. The word of God is effective. When you have a situation in your life, find out what God's word says about it, speak that word over it, and you'll get God's result. That's kingdom living. We were translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. We're in a new kingdom now. We're in this world, but we're not of this world any longer. We're citizens in heaven now. So that's where our citizenship is. We're actually spiritually seated in heaven. Because the Bible says we were raised up when Jesus was raised up. Not gonna be, we were, we are, we is. And so spiritually speaking, that's where we are. We have the authority and the power God's put into us. So the kingdom that we live in now is totally, totally different than the earth kingdom. The earth kingdom is being ruled by Satan. The systems of the earth are being ruled by Satan. But the church, say that's me, is of a different kingdom, of a higher order. I have the ability with the word of God to change things in the natural. That's why you can do miracles at your hands. But you got to believe it. Big smiles, Connie. I like that. But but you have to believe it. How do you get to believe it? Say, I want that. Get into the Word of God. Read the Word of God and ask the Holy Spirit, show me, teach me. He's our teacher. When it goes off, I can remember, I mean, just this past week, something went off in me, but I read scriptures for years, and then something just goes off in me all those years later. Why didn't I see it before? Because I hadn't got to the place where it went off in me. But when it does, that thing works now. It's effective. It's powerful. Nobody can steal it from me. The devil himself, Satan himself, could walk up to my face. He couldn't steal it from me. He only steals it to the ones, in Mark chapter 4, he says, when you don't understand it. Well, if you just read it once, you might not understand it. That's why we need to meditate on God's word. And then when we get God's, the good ground, the goodness of God's word in the good treasure in our good heart, it brings forth, Jesus said, it brings forth out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Is anybody learning anything here? Your words are going to direct where you go in your business, in your marriage, in your relationships, with your family, with your kids. Your words are powerful. And God wants you to operate His way with His words. He wants you to speak kind words. That's why He put the fruit of the Spirit, kindness, inside of you. He wants you to have self-control. That's why He put that inside of you. But you know what? If you refuse to use it, it can lie dormant in there. It's still in there. It's just like you can read scriptures and build up your faith, but if you never release your faith, does you no good. So you've got faith, but it's dead faith. There's no works to show that your faith is in operation. You've got to use your faith. Look, I remember the first time when I felt the prompting and I learned it in the word to lay hands on the sick. My mind is saying, this just doesn't make sense, because it doesn't. But when I did that and I saw time again and again where people were getting healed, it's just like each and every time I have to release my faith. I can't go by my faith from 10 years ago, faith when I saw somebody healed. I've got to rebuild my faith and speak it, believing that it will work each and every time. You talk to any healing person that's in the healing ministry across the planet, they'll tell you the same thing. What they did last week even is not going to, you can't try to operate out of your mind when you're doing the work of the Lord. When you're ministering healing, you have to be led by the Spirit. It's in the Spirit. I'll say things I don't even know where, they didn't come from my mind, they came out of my spirit. Holy Spirit's in there. He might tell me to say something that I've never even heard before. Tell somebody to do something, but you act on that because that's the Holy Spirit. And when you and Him hook up, Haley, when you and the Holy Spirit hook up, miracles happen. Every one of you, miracles will happen. All right, back to the power of the Word. The power, the Word that God speaks. You need to believe the word that you speak has power. The word that you speak has power. And as I said earlier, it has a good side, but it also has a bad side. You sow bad seed. Now, I'm not a farmer, but I've talked to or read about farmers. And, you know, this is, how many have heard of the Burpee Company? I mean, they're like foremost good seed people. But farmers, after they harvest, let's say they harvest an acre of corn, they will take the very best seeds that they get, and they won't eat it. They keep it for replanting because those are the best seeds. And so as we, the best seed is what? The Word of God in us. So we want to get that good seed in the good ground of our heart. Now, I'm just about done here. I want you to look at Mark chapter 4. So again, how do we speak good words? We have to first deposit them inside our hearts. Where do you get them? From God's word. Not difficult. Where did I tell you to go? Of course I did. I'm in Philippians. It doesn't read the same, but That was good. All right, Mark chapter 4. Here again, Jesus tells this parable of seeds. And he says, behold, verse 3, a sower went out to sow. As it happened, he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside. Some seed fell by the wayside. So some went way over there, like not in the ground that they desired to plant them in. They like scattered out over the stony ground. And it says the birds of the air came and devoured it. Well, it made a nice lunch for the birds, but it's not going to produce for the person that sowed it, is it? That farmer's not going to see those seeds. Some fell, verse 5, on stony ground where it didn't have much earth. And immediately it sprang up. So it did spring up a little bit, but because it was very shallow, it says when the sun was up, it scorched it because it had no root. It had no root. And so that seed got burnt up. And some seed fell among the thorns. And the thorns grew up and choked it. And it yielded what? No crop. Got nothing. Zero. But other seed fell on good ground. Say good ground. And it yielded a crop that sprang up. It increased and produced 30, 60, and some 100-fold. And then Jesus says this, for him who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, this is important to you right here today. If you don't want to hear and understand this, don't worry about it. Your seed's just going to go and the birds are going to eat it up. And it won't produce for you. Because he said, when the seed gets planted in the good ground, it produces. Nobody understood that parable. Birds and hard ground, stony ground, good ground. What is all this talking about? So they came and they said, they asked him. He said, to you it's been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. As I said a minute ago, this is kingdom principle. You, if you're born again, you're in the kingdom, in his kingdom. This is important. And he says, those who are outside, all things come in parables. Drop down to verse 13. Jesus said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable I tell you? So this is the master key. Say master key. You know what a master key is? It's a key that will work in any lock. So this master key in God's kingdom is going to work in any area of your life. It will work. He said, the sower sows the word. Now it's not a flower seed or a vegetable seed anymore. It's the word. It's what you speak. He changes. Now he's explaining what that meant. And he says, it's what you say. And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground who, when they hear the word, immediately they receive it with gladness. So it starts to produce something. And it appears to other people looking on your life, they're producing something. But then look what happens. It says they don't have root in themselves. And so they endure for only a time. They don't have a root in themselves. What does that mean? That means they don't let the word of God get down into their heart to where it can produce. They've got head knowledge. They get excited. They begin to produce, but then they give up. They walk away from it. You say, why would anybody do that? Well, Jesus here tells us. It says, afterward, when tribulation, that's pressure, when pressure comes against you. See, it's easy to be a Christian when everything's going great. But when the pressure comes, when the trial comes, that's what's going to make a difference in whether the word in your heart, it works or not, what you do with it. If you continue to press into God's word, it will work and produce for you. If you say, this is too hard, you know, people are saying bad things about me, I'm just giving up, that it can't work. That would be speaking death unto your own life, just like we saw in Deuteronomy 30. Instead of speaking life, it would be speaking death. So he goes on to say they don't have root when tribulation or pressure or persecution arises. Has anybody ever had anybody tell them something, or you heard that somebody was talking about you, some smack and some bad stuff? You know, it hurts. I'm talking about Christians. I'm not talking about the world. I expect them to. But it's brothers and sisters in the Lord. When they say it, it digs deeper. It hurts. And it says, so when this pressure comes and arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. If you're stumbling, you're not going to produce fruit. Now, what is fruit? Fruit is good things in your life. Fruit, according to Jesus in John chapter 15, is what brings glory to God when we produce much fruit. So do we want to produce fruit and glorify God? Or do we want to continue to stumble around, miss it, speak bad words about other people or even over our own life? I'm just so stupid. I'm never going to amount to anything. I'll just never get that job. I'm just never going to get married. On and on and on. You're speaking, you're prophesying over your own life. What you say is going to bring it to pass. You bring God's word out of your mouth, out of the goodness of your heart, you're going to bring forth God's things. And he said, I came, right back to John 10:10, where we started. I came to bring you abundant life. I came to give you an abundant, overflowing life. But it's dependent on you choosing to receive it and choosing to speak it. And listen, pressure comes to everybody. Tribulation comes to everybody. Jesus said so. Now, these are the ones sown among the thorns. When they hear the word, the cares of the world, you get too stinking busy with worldly things that you forget about God. That happens all the time. People that once were in church, now church doesn't even mean anything to them anymore. I'm just too busy. You know, got that new car, got that new airplane, got that new boat. I'm out doing all these things. And even back in Deuteronomy when he said, when you get all these things, don't forget me. God says, just don't forget me. He wants to be at the center of your life. It says, so the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, that's where you keep going after things. God's not against you having things. He wants you to have the boat, the car, the nice mountain home, whatever you want. He said, don't let those things have you. Don't let those things have control over you. So he goes on to say, these things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Guess what? Not producing fruit doesn't bring any glory to God. And that's important to God, that we bring glory to him. That's how we bring it. It's not that we just get on the carpet and say, I give you glory, God, I give you glory, God. That's not what he's talking about bringing him glory. But yet religious people would think, oh, if I'm just seen for praising and worshiping and telling God all. No, it's what you do with your life that brings God glory. It's what comes out of your heart. Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, self-control. When we reflect those things, we bring glory to God. And we do it by our words. Kindness, our words. Being self-controlled, our words. We're in control of our words. Joy, joyful words. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Speaking joyful things, speaking the things of God. Love, I mean, we could go to 1 Corinthians 13 and just talk on love for a while. But it comes from our words and our actions. Your actions speak louder than your words because that's what the world sees. Jesus said, they'll know, the world will know you're my disciples by your love for one another. That's why the church needs to be loving one another so much that they say, why are they having such a party in church? We want that because we're having nothing but tribulation out here in the world. But we've got to believe it. We've got to speak it. You've got to stir yourself up. Look, Paul went through hell on earth and he said, I've got to stir myself up and to remember the goodness of God. Because the enemy, again, back to John 10:10, where we started, the thief comes to do what? Steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I've come that you might have abundant life. And that abundant life is dependent on the words that you speak and the actions that you carry out. But what you believe in your heart is what's going to come out of your mouth. That's a spiritual law. You can't change it. The only thing you can change is what words come out of your mouth. And see, you can speak goodness. You can speak the best life. That's why I say, from this point on, you can have the best life you've ever had. It's just by speaking God's word over your life, believing his word, and he'll give you all of that goodness that he is. He is goodness. He is love. He doesn't just have those things. He is. But we partake from him by choosing. He said, today, I've set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. Therefore, you choose. Amen. Why don't you stand to your feet?